We're here for the people of Darfur and providing humanitarian assistance to those who are in need. One needs to go to those camps to be able to feel and to be able to see what challenge we face and what it is like to suffer the pangs, the agonies, the tortures, the pains of living in camps without any certainty as to what tomorrow will offer and what security do you really have except that provided by, as in this case of the camps, by UNAMID personnel. So in a way, it's been up and down for me, my mixed reactions and mixed feelings that I have on these situations. But it is a mission worth doing, and we're grateful to all those who have supported us in the past 100 days.
What challenges has the mission and you personally faced, and how have you addressed these challenges?
The challenges are great. The conflict is complex. The solutions are complex. The environment is challenging. It's complex in itself. So it's a mixed bag of complex issues. But that is the reason why we are here, and that must not discourage or daunt our spirit. But we are positive people. We are people who are affirmative in our approach. If challenges were not here, we wouldn't be here in the first place. And so long as they are there, what defines you is how well you are able to overcome those challenges.
Jebel Mara is a hotspot for the mission in terms of conflict. Thousands of people over the past few months have been displaced. And how is UNAMID protecting and assisting these displaced persons?
Jebel Mara is the enclave now where you have armed presence in Darfur. The crisis there erupted January this year and perhaps continued at lower levels even till now. But the consequence of the Jebel Mara conflict is that we had close to 140,000 internally displaced persons. Beyond that, we've had problems in Sotoni and Tawila being the most critical of those two areas where access has been a bit of a problem for those who want to deliver humanitarian services, but also for our military people who want to offer protection to civilians and displaced persons. So we are hoping that this will become a thing of the past and the full mandate of UNAMID can be implemented by this removal of obstructions on the path of UNAMID personnel to discharge their responsibilities.
Our host, the government of Sudan, is seemingly quite vocal about the need for UNAMID to exit from Darfur, since, according to the media reports, they believe that peace has somewhat returned to the region. Now, what is the mission's position in this matter, and what processes are in place to tackle this issue?
Compared to where we were a couple of years back, there is relative calm in Darfur. There's just been a referendum here. We're having good conversations with getting the other two armed movements to become party to the peace process. Statistically, we can prove that there's a diminution in the level of mortalities from local intertribal conflicts or intercommunal conflicts. There's a 61% decrease over the same period last year. So in a way, you can say, yes, there's relative calm. But one thing is very clear, we are not there yet. And so the issue of exit or a strategy for exit can be best understood or discussed within that context. But let me also say here that the discussion on exit strategy does not mean that UNAMID is being asked to leave tomorrow. I don't think even the government is of that position. What the relevant section of the Security Council resolution that we are implementing provides that a mission that has an entrance into a field must also have an exit. And so it is not a discussion on how we exit tomorrow. It's a discussion of how we fulfill the identified benchmarks that are enshrined in the Security Council resolution and the timelines for which those benchmarks are executed that will determine how UNAMID exits.
Well, now we are going to ask you to look into the crystal ball, sir. Where do you see Darfur in the next 5 years?
The people of this great country and of this great province, they are like all human beings everywhere in the world. They need peace and they deserve peace. I always implore all of us to draw on our empathies, our capacity to put ourselves in the shoes of those women, men, and children who have no homes but have to live under sheds and tents that they call their homes. We must not talk about peace in a condescending manner, as if you are teaching them something they don't know. There's no human being created who would not appreciate what peace is. So that's not the issue. The issue is that we must encourage them and provide the means and the enablement to enable them to enjoy their fundamental right to peace and to freedom. This is our collective responsibility. We must empathize with them and we must refrain from thinking that we can live in isolation of these people. They deserve all the support, they deserve all the encouragement, they deserve all the empathy that they need to make life worth living for them. Peace in Darfur is peace in Sudan. Peace in Sudan is peace in Africa. Peace in Africa is peace in the world. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. Peace is doable.